Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big weekend ahead of ACC hoops. North Carolina Clemson is one of the highlights really of the schedule if you think about it. I mean, Clemson right now, I believe, is the highest ranked ACC team, although they did go to Miami and get beat. Miami has kind of fallen under the radar. I think Miami's excellent. And I think there are five, maybe six really good teams in the league. I think Miami is one of them. We'll see if Brian Geisinger concurs. Our college hoops maven guru, 24/7 Sports BuzzBeat podcast. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Real quick, I know we're not going to talk about it, but in terms of specifics and in depth, but North Carolina, Duke, Miami, Clemson, maybe Virginia, five of the five best teams in the league?
Yeah, I think pretty safely. I think you could probably try to make cases for, Pittsburgh or maybe Virginia Tech or whatever. I mean, I guess Pittsburgh's 0-3. I just really like their personnel, but
I do too.
They got good players. But I don't think they're going to finish last in the league. But real quickly, I think that top five is pretty like unassailable, honestly.
Let's get to one of the fun matchups.
Although, hold on. Did you mention Wake Forest in that mix?
I did not, but they are on my next grouping of teams.
Because they have real upside offensively and defensively. They're rounding into form. Like they're pretty legit. They're right on the fringe if they're not in there already too. In that mix, I think.
Good for Steve Forbes. Let's talk about Carolina's trip to Clemson. So I'll just open the floor for you. The Tar Heels didn't shoot it very well and haven't. I've been surprised they haven't shot it well from the perimeter. They've shot it okay at best. Where do you see the Tar Heels and how do you see this matchup?
I think it's going to be, it's a very exciting matchup. Two of the better, post guys in the league, PJ Hall, Armando Bacot. Yep. I'm not sure how much those guys will be sort of like one-on-one matched up. My guess is Bacot will take Ian Shefflin and, Hubert Davis will have Jalen Withers out in space against PJ Hall and all the pick and pop Princeton offense stuff that Brad Brunell likes to run. So my guess is you try to keep Bacot closer to the paint and keep a good offensive rebounder like Shefflin off the glass maybe a little bit. But you could see like when Clemson losing to Miami. I mean, I think that had more to do with Miami just having, they've got a ton of offensive firepower. Yeah. They've got a couple future pros on that team. That was hands down the worst defensive game Clemson's had all season, but also, I know PJ Hall had 17 points in that game, but 1 of 5 on threes, 4 turnovers, no assists. Like the thing that makes Clemson like dynamic and tough to defend offensively is like Hall's ability to stretch the floor and then be like a playmaker at, whether he's playing 4 or 5. And if you shut his water off on some of that stuff, well, then they sort of like lose their their top gear offensively. And then just, I think this is like stating the obvious, but it seems to me like a big game for RJ Davis in terms of shooting. Uh-huh. Clemson's a team that's going to be in gaps. There's going to be opportunities for RJ to pull up and shoot off the dribble and score out of the pick and roll, which he's very, very good at doing. And so this does feel like one of those games where if he has it cooking with the pull up, that just loosens everything else up for UNC's offense. So I do like UNC in this game. But like it seems like it's going to be a really fun game between two of the best offenses, in the country.
When was the last time you could say two of the best offenses and one of these teams you were talking about was Clemson? They have not had great offensive performances. They're always a great defensive team under Brad Brownell, but they have not been great offensively. Just looking at North Carolina and having seen them enough, I've kind of been surprised that they haven't been better shooting the ball from the perimeter. We know Harrison Ingram is more than capable. The numbers have been okay. But I think the real surprise is that Cormac Ryan really has not given them what they have needed, what they've expected. He's playing okay otherwise, but, I mean, they didn't bring him here to shoot 28% from three.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan's a guy that's, I think of him as, I think he shot 40% two seasons ago, like the last good Mike Bray Notre Dame team. Right. But really, for others, most of his career, he's been like mid-30s, but with good volume, which is like a really useful shooter. And
sure,
if you've watched Ryan play a lot, he's been in college basketball for a long time now. he takes tough shots. He can shoot off movement. He can shoot out of the pick and roll. Like he's pretty versatile, but I wouldn't worry too much about the jumper at this point. Like he's still shooting well from the field overall. He's shooting well from the line. Like Cormac Ryan may have a month where he just over six games or whatever, he shoots 40 some percent.
Yeah.
And then he ends the year at 35% on volume, but they do need him to shoot because his shooting gives them lineup versatility, allows them to, move Harrison Ingram to the four, and get some get like a spacier lineup on the court with Ryan and with Cadeau and Davis and Bacot. But they also need his shooting because in lineups where they're playing Bacot and Withers together, as awesome as Armando Bacot is, and he's one of the best players in the country, like they're playing two non-shooters. And you're also seeing Jalen Withers is getting the, and this is not like specific to just Jalen Withers, because this happens with Mark Mitchell at Duke or Ryan Dunn at UVA, but sort of like non-shooters at the power forward position that teams are willing to play off of and have another defender in the paint clogging other stuff up. So Ryan's really crucial for them, in part because as good as Harrison Ingram is, I'm not sure he's going to shoot 43% from deep all season. So they need someone else in the wing guard room, along with outside of Davis and Ingram, to get going. And Ryan's the most obvious candidate, and I would bet on him, picking it up here.
All right, let me flip this over, and maybe that's a pun, to the Blue Devils, because Kyle Filipowski we knew he was going to be basically their everything. Has he been more of their everything than even you anticipated?
Yeah, because I think he's been even better defensively so far this year. And I know Duke is not, by no means is this like an elite defense, but they're probably top 25, top 30 in terms of, points allowed per possession.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of that is, I think a couple of guys probably deserve like outsized credit. Mark Mitchell, despite his issues offensively at times, is a warrior for them and does a lot of different stuff defensively. I think Jalen Blake's has been a spark plug, winning play hustle guy off the bench. I think Jared McCain, after a rough start, has just been solid. Not great. He still has like a breakdown or two per game, but McCain's been much better than he was the first like five, six games of the year, where it was just constant issues for him on that side of the court. But Filipowski, like, anchoring the defense in gold. I'm not just talking about like rebounds and blocks, right, which he's getting a ton of that. I'm not even just talking about steals and deflections, which he's getting a lot of those too. Like, he's so active in a bunch of different spots of the floor defensively. But what they're asking him to do, like John Shire spoke about this either after the Queens game or the win over Syracuse. Like, I don't remember which one, but he basically said, like, he was describing Flip, and he said, I don't think there's anyone like him in the country. And I think he's right, because there's no one that's asked to carry such a playmaking load.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how much offense Flip initiates and finishes, and then you come down on the other side of the court, he can't chill defensively. Like, he's the one guarding pretty much every screen, and they're asking him to do it. In the Syracuse game alone, I highlighted this on Twitter, they used probably at least four or five different screen coverages with Kyle Filipowski. So sometimes he's switching out on Judah Mintz, who's an NBA point guard. Sometimes he's in a drop playing below the level of the screen. Sometimes he's hard hedging. Sometimes they're in a zone and they're not guarding pick and roll that way. Sometimes he's up at the level. Like, he's doing so much on both sides of the court. It's really impressive. I think he's totally solidified himself at this point as like a top 10 lottery pick and probably the best player in the ACC and one of the best players in the country. He's been awesome.
Yeah, and Duke has kind of settled into, at least they did against Syracuse. They went to a lot of four-guard sets, and they were effective in that.
The Pack Therapy Podcast is in session. Tim Donnelly here, host of The Drive and your guide for Pack Therapy. Every episode is your chance to score inside information on the Pack. We set you up for Wolfpack games all season long, and we break down the ACC competition, what to watch for as we roll towards the tournament madness, plus special guests to keep your Wolfpack hope alive. Follow Pack Therapy wherever you discover your favorite podcasts or watch it on YouTube.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I mean, that's been big for them. There was one game earlier in the year, too. I'm blanking on it now, where they went four guards, and it proved to be really fruitful for them. They've got a ton of guard potential. And what's cool is, like, when they go to those looks, I mean, they can actually play five out with Flip.
Right.
And that's huge. And they can do that some when they play TJ Power, because he can stretch the floor at the four spot. They found some workarounds with the way teams are guarding Mark Mitchell by really not like closing out and really playing off of him. The other night you saw Syracuse open the game by putting 7'3" Naheem Aleen on Mark Mitchell and just sticking him in the paint. So Duke's finding some stuff to work around that. But when they play those four guards, then all of a sudden you have Flip in the middle of the court or Flip in the post. And then you've got all of these guys that can – I mean, McCain's a big, big, big-time shooter
yep.
who really moves super well without the ball. Like, he's just a really smart, skilled offensive player. Roach, Tyrese Proctor's back. He's obviously awesome. Caleb Foster, like, a little up and down, but certainly talented. And Jalen Blake's gold. He made, like – this is boring to talk about. He made probably, like, a half dozen plays in the Syracuse game that were just so smart. Like being in the right spot defensively, being patient with the ball in transition, waiting for his teammates to catch up so he could feed them for a layup. And then when he plays their like de facto small ball four, Jalen Blake's is, maybe a little bit shorter than I am. So it's funny having him play power forward,
right.
but he tries hard and he can do it. And Flip is, all of a sudden he gets to play with the right amount of space in the post or on the short roll. And Duke can really open things up offensively. And I think my guess is you would agree with me here, which is that like those looks can't be Duke's base lineup. You know, they need
no.
Mitchell for his length defensively, but they're,
yeah.
It's an excellent, like, end of half, end of game, or just like during a stretch where you need to like juice the offense a little bit. It's perfect for that to be like an off speed pitch, for John Shire. It's not the fastball.
Mitchell's playing plenty. And I have no issue. He'll eventually start making shots again. He is not a 4.5% 3-point shooter.
But I give a lot of credit to like the way John Shire, his staff, and the players on Duke's roster have like they're doing things with Mitchell to sort of like offset some of the issues he's having with the shot and the way teams are guarding him, either sticking him in the dunker spot, getting him involved as a screener and diving to the rim. You
sure.
saw that. In the Duke game, Tyrese Proctor hit him for multiple, dives to the rim. And Mitchell got to play some five in that game, too. And then he gets going as a cutter. And that's, like, really, in my opinion, like, when Mitchell's at his best. It's, like, moving without the ball, cutting. Filipowski has good chemistry with him going back to last season, doing that stuff. So, like, they've found things that even if Mitchell did shoot, if he doesn't make a three for the rest of the season – there's still things they have that work, and Filipowski is sort of like the key to unlocking all of that because he's such a good passer and generally a pretty good decision maker too.
I mean, Mitchell also, he leads the team in getting to the free throw line, and that's there's something to be said for that. To NC State, who, when I said I put Wake Forest in that next category of teams, maybe I'm overestimating. I kind of like State too. I think State's got a lot of options. They have a very deep team. They have the most initials easily in the maybe in the entire country. But they were awful for most of that game offensively, and they just kind of figured it out late. And I love DJ Burns. I mean, he just makes me laugh. But there's something to be said for having the ability in a tight situation to put up a floater like that with touch to win a game. So what are your thoughts, you know, as we're, into the second semester now with the Wolfpack?
Yeah, it can't be said also how much guts it took to go up and under with the clock running out like right. that. I mean, Burns is an awesome, awesome college, you know, offensive center. And really his shooting touch is special. Like, he shouldn't be as efficient of a low post player as he is, but it's because he can take weird shots from, you know, 13, 17 feet from the rim from weird angles, and he just floats it in. He's a miraculous player, and obviously his spirit is incredible. Very fun player to have covered going back to Winthrop. Look, for State to, I guess, what, they didn't lead at all the entire game against Notre Dame. They have what was, outside of the Ole Miss game, their worst offensive game of the season. And it would be hard for them to be worse than they were right. on the road at Mississippi. But they, horrible shooting performance. They don't really get to the line in the game all that much. But the offensive rebounds and getting to the line just enough, plus Burns in the low post, some timely threes from DJ Horn, and like, that was enough to win a tough game against a not a very good Notre Dame team.
No,
but I'm still a little worried about State's offense, like half court offense specifically. I think we've seen Jaden Taylor's shot sort of regress to the mean a little bit. I'm not really sure what the role is for MJ Rice right now, but I thought he was a potential, you know, ceiling raiser for them just in terms of like talent, and that really hasn't been borne out yet. I like a lot of the players in the backcourt, but I think they're still looking for a guy to come in and that can be like a lead ball handler and make shots, and they just don't quite have that player, which is why they've got to go through Burns and in the post a lot. So like, there's a lot of good stuff here. It's just hard for them, I think, to constantly put together lineups that are like solid half court wise on both sides of the floor. Cause obviously, you know, you need Burns for his offense, but then he can be a target for opposing teams to go out in the pick and roll too. So, I like what State has cobbled together. And even in some of these losses, like BYU, Tennessee, I mean, these are two of the top 10 teams in the country. State was in both of those games, you know, could have won either of those games. So they can play with anybody, but it's just like finding a sort of like enough half court rhythm on both sides to be sustainable.
Yeah, just watching the game, it looked to me like they had a hard time breaking Notre Dame down in the half court to create opportunities.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's why, and you and I have talked about this before, and we'll close on this. I really like to see them, you know, get out and press more and maybe get some easy baskets, because I think that's the way. I mean, that's the way Kevin Keats was doing it at Wilmington. I really think that would maybe they don't have identical personnel, and that does eliminate DJ from the equation, because I don't think you're going to have DJ as a part of that particular defensive idea. But they got to figure out a way to get some easy buckets. Brian Geisinger at @BGeis_Bird. We'll do this every Friday, man. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. Have a good weekend.
You got it. That's it. We just told people Fridays are when we get smarter in terms of basketball. We're going to do that the rest of the college basketball season. How many more college basketball Fridays do we have between now and the ACC tournament?
We're going to be real smart.
We got like a dozen.
Yeah.
Maybe 13, or I have no idea how many. It's less.
It's good to know.
It's actually less because it's not the end of March. I can't do math. So let's stop even trying.
Well, people could win at trivia, though, because he's going to come with all the knowledge.
Oh, my gosh. So. Brian is crazy.
Yes.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.